This episode of Rose Unplugged is brought to you by MyPillow, and they've got a new offer for their Percale sheets. Now, notice this. They are different from the Giza sheets. This is an amazing offer, and it's only while supplies last. They are breathable. They are cool, crisp feeling. They're durable, and they're built to last. They're machine washable, easy to care for, 250 thread count, imported, the queens with a set of two pillowcases, and a king comes with a set of two pillowcases. All you have to do to get the amazing price on this is put in promo code ROSE. So you want to go to mypillow.com, promo code ROSE, to get the best deal on the Percale sheets. And again, there's a limited supply, so get over there right now and do it. And by the way, I want to add, my dog Tucker loves his dog bed from mypillow.com. Whatever you buy, you get a discount if you use the promo code ROSE.
Unencumbered by political correctness, undeterred in her mission to spread the truth, unafraid to be a true conservative, she's unapologetic, uncompromising, unwavering, and an undeniably powerful voice when we need it most.
This is my fight song.
This is Rose Unplugged.
My power's turned on.
Welcome to this episode of Rose Unplugged.
Glad to be sharing this day with you, particularly because of the importance of this day. It's a day of remembering. It's September 11th, 2022. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, that it's been this long since our land was attacked by terrorists. And I'll bet that most of you, if I ask you where you were when you found out, you know exactly where you were. I remember I had just finished doing a show. At the time, the studios I worked in were in downtown Pittsburgh. And right across the street was the Smithfield Cafe. And we would often go over there after the morning show and have breakfast. And that particular day, I had my son, very young son, with me, who came in while I was doing the show, and then afterwards, a big deal was to go over to the cafe and have breakfast. So he was with us, and someone had said, oh my gosh, a plane. We're thinking a small plane, perhaps a twin engine, something like that, had gone into one of the towers. So everyone from the dining room walked over to the adjoining room there at the cafe, and it was on television, and had I known that another plane would shortly be going through the towers, I probably wouldn't have brought my young child in, but we witnessed it firsthand because no one thought that was going to happen. I think that most of us believed initially that it was just a plane that lost its direction, something happened to the pilot, probably a small private plane, and it crashed into the towers. We never expected to see what we then saw after that. And you know, it was so profound, I think, because it was the first time that all of us experienced the same thing. We all shared in that horrific and frightening experience. Sometimes, you know, some people don't really feel what you felt because they weren't there or it didn't affect them directly. This was something that affected so many of us. And it changed the way we thought for a while in many ways. In the beginning, everyone was saying, God bless you and, you know, God bless America. And we were united in that shared attack, on freedom in our country and what it stood for. We were united as a country. And when I think about it, there was no division then. We had a Republican president. There was no division. A lot of people were hoping the next time around they would have a Democrat president, but there was no division like we see today. And then that day, and for some time afterwards, we seemed to love each other a little more. We seemed to believe in God a little more. We seemed to love the country a little more. And it's too bad that we get away from those feelings, right? Those are such profound, strong feelings and good ones. And somehow we've gone from that to this, where we're each other's enemy in this country. I remember after all that happened, because it changed our lives drastically. Anytime for a while there, the skies were quiet. There were no planes. Do you remember that? Right afterwards for some time. And then when they started to fly again, a plane that would fly over would be cause for alarm, or you'd become scared and think, is it going to happen again? It was a reminder. And it took a long time to get through all of that. And I had written something around that time. It was in November. And it was called Just a Moment. And I wrote that if I could stop time, I know exactly the day, make that the moment I would choose. It would be Thursday, November 1st, 2001 at 3:30 p.m. I had just walked out my front door to make the short trip across the street to the bus stop to wait for my son. It was one of those perfect fall days. Not at all cold, a little warm, in fact, for November. There was just a hint of a breeze, bringing with it the familiar scents of the season. I decided to sit down on the edge of my porch and wait for the bus from there. And as I sat, I saw my neighbor on my left, Jan, raking leaves and looking as she always does, like one who is at one with nature, dressed in her usual flannel shirt over jeans and a t-shirt. I could hear the rake as it met with leaves and then scraped over her driveway. And on my other side, there was a dog, Nikki, who at that time every day takes her post to guard her family's turf from the gathering moms at the bus stop, barking if someone comes a little too close. My own dog, Jesse, has come over to curl up in my lap, uncharacteristically content to be there rather than engage in a barking match with Nikki or chase leaves as they dance across the lawn. Mary, across the street, pulls out of her driveway in her SUV and we wave. And I think about how much I like her, how much I like all of my neighbors and their children. I think about how lovely fall is and how anxious I am to see my son again. And just for a moment, I forgot. I forgot that we were on high alert. I forgot about my fears for my son and for his future. I forgot that sometimes I'm afraid to get up in the morning and go to work in the city. For just a moment, life is good again. It is beautiful and lovely and hopeful. And what I want to say, for just a moment, life was much like it was before September 11th, before high alerts had become commonplace, before an airplane flying overhead was cause for me to hold my breath until it passed. But life will never be as it was before September 11th, and maybe, had there not been a September 11th, I would not be so affected by just a moment. You know, so many times people will look back at maybe the 50s or 60s, another decade, and say, oh, you know, life was so good and simple then. But, you know, we can look back even to the early 2000s, when it was much different than it is today. And I hope that we can get back to that, where we were united as a country, that our enemies, we never recognized a neighbor who maybe didn't believe the same we did politically. We never saw them as our enemy, not at all. They were still our neighbors, our friends, part of our community. And I really hope that we can get to that point again. I don't know how we get there, because I don't know how we got here. I really don't. I think media plays into it and plays us against one another. But I always look at those things that happen, like tragedies and these, you know, like a flood or a hurricane. And you watch these people, these brave people, much like those who ran into the building on 9/11 as others were running out. But these brave people that go to help others without hesitating, without stopping to say to themselves, wait a minute, what if they're, you know, a Democrat and I'm a Republican? What if they're a Republican and I'm a Democrat? Somehow deep down, innately, we are still good for one another. We still care about one another. And we need to focus on that again. that we don't stop. You know, and when I mention that now, I think of a photograph I saw in World News Today at the time of September 11th, right afterwards. There were photographs of firemen rushing into the building, and you can see them. They are the only person that's running up the stairs as everyone is running down. Just seeing that contrast in that photograph, it's something I'll never, ever forget. Rhonda Scortino from Epoch Times wrote a story about one brave New Yorker who led his company staff to safety, because she reminds us that almost 3,000 people perished in the Twin Towers on September 11th, 2,750. The remains of 1,106 victims have yet to be identified. It was the worst terrorist attack in United States history. And she says, we rightly focus on the lives who were lost that day and on the people who died later as a result of their injuries or exposure. But let's take a look at the survivors, she writes. On the beautiful morning of September 11th, Joe Peluso was in charge of an insurance company department in the South Tower of New York's World Trade Center. About the time he was arriving for work that day, American Airlines Flight 11 took off from Boston's Logan International Airport en route to Los Angeles with 92 passengers on board. At 8:46 a.m., Flight 11 hit the North Tower, killing all 92 passengers instantly, along with hundreds of people who were on floors 93 to 99. Peluso and his staff heard and felt something, so they knew something had happened, but they didn't know exactly what it was. The bombing at World Trade Center in 1993, two staff members were working in the building at the time, had occurred in the basement and hadn't interfered with the integrity of the building's structure. So no one could imagine the tragedy that was actually taking place. So they continued with the work at hand. Peluso watched from his office window that faced the North Tower as smoke emanated from that building. He watched what his mind didn't want to register as people falling from the building. Do you remember that, people? Do you remember watching those people jump? They had to choose between the fire right behind them or the death right below them. And so many chose to plunge to their death rather than face the flames behind them. What a horrific situation to be in. How horrible it is to have to make a decision like that. How do I want to die now at this moment? How will I choose to die? So many jumped from their windows. People below said they would hear these thuds and suddenly look and see a body splattered on the ground. That was part of the tragedy of this country on 9/11. So he's watching this, and he didn't want to register what was happening. He called his wife to let her know he was okay. He spoke to his sister, and he tried to call his daughter, Amy, who was working in nearby Midtown Manhattan. Regardless of whether what just happened was an accident or something more insidious, Peluso shifted into action. He felt compelled to tell his people to get out of the building. And this is significant, people, because if you remember, people in the other tower, in the South Tower, they wanted to leave. They started to leave, and they were told, get back to your offices. Everything is going to be fine. Just get back to your offices. And sometimes I think that we are too much like sheep, whether we believe every news story on CNN or we are so very much like sheep, are we not? Even when it comes to liking a particular candidate, I think there are many people who are way over the top, whether it's a Republican candidate or Democrat one. You sometimes look at them as though they're your God and you are like sheep following them. No man is perfect. No man is all good. But like sheep, we follow. And I thought about that when I remembered hearing the stories of the people that were told to go back to their desks that day. Are you a sheep? Or would you do what you know in your gut to be the right thing? That's the question always, isn't it? No matter what's happening around you. That certainly is the question. So, while the building security staff was advising people over the public address system to stay in their offices, Peluso was walking from desk to desk, calmly telling his staff to exit the building. His calm yet serious demeanor led people to get off the phone, stop other conversations, put down their files, go against the advice of the building security staff, deciding not to be sheep, and leave. Peloso and a few others remained in the office observing the unfolding tragedy at the North Tower while making phone calls. At 9:03, United Airlines Flight 175 hit floors 75 to 85 of the South Tower, killing all 65 passengers and hundreds of others upon impact. The computer shut down and the lights went off. Peloso and his remaining staff made their way through the dark hallway and into the stairwell. First responders were racing past them, as I mentioned before. As they were going down, first responders were coming up. God bless them. Many rushing to their death. At 9:59 a.m., less than an hour after being hit, the South Tower collapsed. No one expected that, killing many, but by that time, Peloso and his staff were already out of the building and walking to what they hoped was safety. At that point, no one knew if there would other suicide bombers heading towards Manhattan. They didn't know. Remember, in Pittsburgh, when I went to Smithfield Cafe, they thought the plane was headed to Pittsburgh. It ended up in Shanksville, but that's how scared we were. The only thing they knew for sure at that point was that what was happening was not an accident. As first responders charged toward the buildings and the air filled with smoke and debris that made it difficult to breathe, Peloso kept his composure and continued leading the way, heading toward Midtown, where his daughter Amy worked. Cell phones weren't working and there were long lines at every phone booth. So when they were far enough away from the disaster and the chaos, Peloso and his group entered a hotel lobby where people were standing in line to use the phone. While they each took turns calling their loved ones, Peloso was watching the TV coverage and trying to figure out the best route out of the city. He watched as the South Tower collapsed, seemingly in slow motion, just folded in on itself, remember? It was less than an hour from the time that he and his staff had made it down what seemed like countless stairs and went out the front doors. To Peloso, it felt like hours had gone by. When they felt it was safe to do so, they ventured out, stopping at Amy's apartment to gather her cat. They made their way with many others who hoped to eventually get home through the dark and eerily quiet Times Square and over to the port where thousands, do you remember those photographs of people who own boats, volunteered to transport people across the Hudson to New Jersey? People who own boats, remember, not knowing what more was to come, willingly risked their lives to transport people across that Hudson River. Peloso said that, I've heard it was said that Dunkirk was the biggest water rescue in history, referring, of course, to World War II effort to evacuate Allied soldiers who were trapped at the Dunkirk beach in France. But what I saw on 9/11 makes me think differently. Everyone who had a boat was there taking people out of the New York City. There were lots of heroes that day. Sometimes it's even hard when you think about it for those of us when we watched all of this transpire and we couldn't believe what we were seeing. The thing I think I'm most touched by are people risking their lives to help others. You know, I remember a story, and I forget which tower they were in, but there was a Jewish man and a Christian man. This is not the beginning of a joke. A Jewish man and a Christian man who shared an office. The Christian man was in a wheelchair and he couldn't maneuver very well or very quickly. The Jewish man, they knew that they had waited too long. It was probably the South Tower because they were all told not to leave. Knew they had waited too long, knew that it was only a matter of time that they would perish. They both called their wives. And the Christian man in the wheelchair said, please go, just leave, go. And he said, no, I'm not going to leave you. And he stayed with him. And they perished together. This is who we are. This is who we really are. If we put aside the politics and put aside the anger that somehow we feel towards one another because we don't agree with their opinions or with their politics, if we rid ourselves of all of that, what we find, if we peel that away, what we find underneath is what was always there, what was always meant to be there. And that is love for one another. That is caring for one another. That is oftentimes risking something for one another. That was just one example, but it was a huge example. It was something we all saw and experienced collectively. We witnessed it in real time. Real time. That doesn't happen very often. The tragedy, the horror of what we were watching was something we had never experienced together ever in our lifetime. But what we have experienced over time, always over time, is that deep down, that scripture comes to mind. No greater love has any man than this, that a man should lay down his life for a friend. That is within the fiber of who we are. That is still available to one another. Let's bring that out. Let's walk away from the anger and the hatred that we see all the time, and let's expose that love.
This episode of Rose Unplugged was brought to you by MyPillow. MyPillow.com, promo code Rose. Those are two things you need to remember. And listen, Mike Lindell is a patriot, all right? And he has been canceled in so many places. That's why I make an appeal to you to be sure to spend your money on those things that you need. If you need a pillow, if you need a dog bed, if you need sheets, if you need towels, if you need slippers. Those slippers are amazing. I love them. Whatever you need, first go to MyPillow.com because I'll bet they have it. And they'll have it at a good price because you use my promo code ROSE in that little block that asked for it. Promo code ROSE, MyPillow.com. Let's cancel the cancel culture by supporting Mike Lindell and MyPillow. You'll find what you need at MyPillow.com. Promo code ROSE.